Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock.
On the rock of ages, safe from every storm.
From all the storm
that rages, rich in love I'm rich.
Not from Satan's
wages, I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay.
I'm standing on the rock,
of ages, safe from every storm.
From
all the storm that rages, rich in love I'm rich.
But not from Satan's
wages, I'm standing on the solid rock, solid rock.
Standing on the rock of ages, safe
from every storm.
From all the storm that rages,
rich in love I'm rich.
But not from Satan's wages,
I'm standing on the solid rock.
Welcome to another lesson from the Bible presented by the Hamilton Church of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The only way we can grow from this childhood state that is imperfect, this state in which we are dealing with each other through malice and envy and guile and being hypocrites, is to know what the Word of God is. And so he tells us to desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes, that you may grow thereby. We grow by knowing what the Word says. Won't you join us today in our Bible study?
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know they feel the presence of the Lord. With your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall be. With your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
In our last lesson in Genesis, we'd gotten into the 23rd chapter, and we'd studied the first two verses. These first two verses tell about Sarah's death. Sarah died at the age of 127. She was back in the land of Canaan now, in Hebron, and we learned that Abraham came in to mourn for her and to weep for her. And we discussed those two verses in our last lesson. Now I'd like to read verses 3 through 9. And Abraham stood up from before his dead, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. give me possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heth, and he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Sarah was the first in the immediate patriarchal family of Abraham to die in the land of Canaan. And rather than take her back to their homeland, the original place back in the Chaldees to be buried, they wanted to be buried here in Canaan. Abraham and Sarah may have discussed this, but Canaan was their land. It was going to be their home. It was the promised land to them, and so they were going to treat it like it was their land. They were going to live here. They're going to die and be buried here. And so now it was time for Abraham to find a burying place for Sarah. And verse 3 says, Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth. There comes a time when, although we may be mourning and grieving and weeping for the dead, it comes a time when we have to stand up from the dead and go on about the business of the day. Now, the business for Abraham was making the funeral arrangements, and one of the major arrangements was to find a place to bury her. And so he spake unto the sons of Heth. This would be, of course, the Hittites. Heth was a descendant of Ham and Canaan, and his children were known as the Hittites. And so he dealt with this Hittite group that were there with him in Canaan. And we're going to see some interesting things as he talks to them and deals with them. Verse 4, he says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. So here Abraham admits that he is a stranger and a sojourner with them. And we read this in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So Abraham here makes that confession. He's a stranger and a sojourner. He's someone who doesn't really have a possession here. This is not really his home. He's just kind of passing through. He's a sojourner. He's temporary. And of course, we all are temporary when really get to know the truth of the matter. The Apostle Peter speaks of members of the church in this regard when he says in 1 Peter 2:11, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So he's essentially saying the same thing about us as Christians that Abraham said about him when he said, I'm a stranger and a sojourner. Now we're talking about the worldly possessions. We're talking about the home here on this earthly place. We're not talking about spiritual possessions. We're not talking about heavenly possessions. For Peter said to these very same people, just two verses back in verse 9, he says in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are great possessors of things in the spiritual sense, but here on earth we really are just strangers and sojourners, pilgrims, temporary dwellers. And that's what Abraham is saying here to these Hittites. And of course it was God's will that Abraham not possess this land any more than he did so far as actually owning it. He got to live here. He got to use it as though he did own it, but actually he did not legally possess it. And Stephen says as much in chapter 7 of Acts, verse 5, when Stephen says, And he gave him non-inheritance in it. So Abraham didn't have an inheritance here. Well, here's a man, Abraham, who is pretty powerful in a lot of ways. He has a lot of wealth. He has a lot of possessions. He has a big entourage in his family here. But yet he's dealing with these Hittites who own all the land. He doesn't own anything. So it's kind of embarrassing for him to come to them and have to say, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. They knew that Abraham was different in this respect. Anyone else with Abraham's clout and wealth and know-how would have certainly had some possessions. But Abraham has to admit, I don't have any possessions. I'm a stranger here. They knew this. And so he's asking them, give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. What I'd like to do is make some kind of an agreement with you so I can have a little piece of property here to bury my dead. My wife has just died. I don't have any place to bury her. I need a place to bury her, to get her out of my sight where she's not on top of the ground here, as a corpse. And verse 5 says, And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, verse 6, Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. Now they evidently felt pretty sorry for Abraham, and so they didn't agree that he didn't have anything really. They knew that he was a mighty man, and they respected him, and so they called him a mighty prince among us. You're a mighty prince among us. Don't play yourself down, Abraham. We know that you're a powerful person. We know you have a lot of wealth. We know that you have a lot of ability to purchase if you need to. You know, you're great among us. But they further say to him, In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, because thou mayest bury thy dead. So they're just telling him, you can have the choice of our burying places. We'll give it to you. Any of us will give you what you want. You just choose what you want. The choice of our sepulchres you can have to bury your dead. Nobody's going to withhold from you his burying place. You're welcome to use it. They were pleased to be able to mingle their dust with Abraham's, evidently. They were satisfied to have Abraham to really be settled there and have a place to bury his dead. They really weren't wanting Abraham to leave. They weren't trying to run him off. They weren't trying to treat him like a stranger. So you can see how that by the gracious, godly living that Abraham had, that they really had a good feeling about Abraham. And, of course, this is one of the characteristics of our today living a godly life. For the most part, those round about us will appreciate us for living after the characteristics that God wants us to follow. And we have some instruction along this very line in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 10 through verse 12. There it says, But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. This passage of Scripture is talking to Christians and about Christians. This is the way we should live today, but it also very accurately describes Abraham. Abraham was increasing more and more. Abraham was minding his own business. He was working with his own hands, and he was walking honestly toward those that are without, the Hittites. He had a good reputation with them. They knew Abraham was not a thief. They wanted to even help Abraham. They offered to give him a burying place here. And so verse 7 says, Abraham stood up and bowed himself unto the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. Now, twice in this passage, we're told that Abraham bowed to these people. Abraham was an old man. He was 137 years old. He was way older than the ones he was dealing with, no doubt. But he's the one who bowed down before them. And verse 8 says, And he communed with them, saying, If it be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and treat me to Ephron, the son of Zohar. So here we learn that there was one of these Hittites who had the very land that Abraham wanted. He had the piece of land that Abraham wanted to use to bury Sarah in. His name was Ephron. He was son of Zohar. And so he tells him, if you really want to help me, if it's in your mind that I should be able to make this burial of my wife like I want to do here, approach Ephron for me. Talk to him on my behalf. Verse 9, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it's worth. He shall give it me for possession of a burying place amongst you. I want to be buried right here among you in Canaan, here in the area of Hebron. And so he has a cave that's the end of his field, this cave of Machpelah. And I want to get it for as much money as it's worth, if you'll just let me use it for a burying place amongst you here. So we see that Abraham is dealing with the people. These are people that are not godly people. These are Hittites. These are not members of Abraham's family. These are not people who are involved in the promise anyway. Simply, Abraham is dealing with them on the purchase of some land. Like we may have to have a business dealing today with those that are not members of the church, those that are not godly people. We may have to deal with them from time to time. We want to deal with them honestly, openly, above board. We lay it out to them like it is. We're not trying to hide anything from them, and we pay them what it's worth. Abraham says, for as much money as it's worth. He doesn't want to try to drive a hard bargain. He's not trying to cheat anybody. He's not trying to get something for nothing or don't want to give him anything. He wants to pay for it, and he wants to pay as much money as it's worth. And so we see then that Abraham is in the process here of providing a place to bury Sarah. Now, this also would be a place where the rest of his family could be buried. We can see he's really putting out roots here. I mean, he's already been here for 60 years, but he doesn't own anything. This is his first piece of land to own, his only piece of land to own, a place to bury his wife, and a burying place. So we read further then, verses 10 through 18. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite entered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that were in the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I'll bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And in the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. So here we see that Abraham made a deal here to purchase this land. In this passage, we have a very plain recording of how Abram actually got the burying place for Sarah. Verse 10 says that Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite entered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that were in the gate of his city, saying. So evidently this was a more or less public transaction in the gate of the city. Ephron was in the audience, and he heard Abraham say that that was the piece of land he wanted, and so Ephron answered him. And he said, Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee, bury thy dead. So he openly, very plainly and squarely gave the land to Abraham. And he says, take the cave that's there and bury your dead there. I give it to you right here in the audience of all these people. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. This is the second time for Abraham to bow down. Verse 13, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I'll bury my dead there. He said, I know you're willing to give it. If you're willing to give it to me, then certainly you ought to be willing to sell it to me. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. So he told him what it was worth, 400 shekels of silver. That'd be several hundred dollars in our money. I don't know exactly what it is, with all the changes in money from this time to that time, but it was the money of the day, and so he told him what it was worth. And so we know Abraham wanted to pay for this land. He didn't want it to be given to him. He didn't want these people to grant him any favors like this. He could well afford the land. Someone might challenge his title to it at a later time. Someone might, might come along and claim it didn't belong to him after all. So Abraham wanted it open and above board, fairly and squarely, but to be a deal that would be one that would last. And so verse 16 says, And Abraham hearkened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. This is good money. It's money that the merchant would accept and recognize and take this day. So he wasn't giving him some money that wasn't going to be good in this area. This is current money with the merchant. You know, when you go to a foreign country and you have the wrong kind of money, the money from another country, and you're trying to spend it there, that's a lot of people are not going to take that money. They want the thing that's good right then and there. And so it is. That's what Abraham gave Ephron. Current with money with the merchant, he says. Verse 17 says, In the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees were in the field, and they were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession. So it was guaranteed to Abraham. Fixed in such a way that there was no question about the fact that this belonged to Abraham. It was now his possession in the presence of the children of Heth. They were witnesses to this. The Hittites saw it. They knew that this was legally now Abraham's land before all that went into the gate of his city. So Abraham has bought the land, the cave there that he's going to bury Sarah in, and the place where he and other of his relatives are going to be buried. To note here very briefly that Stephen makes a statement in Acts 7:16 that seems to be a contradiction in the minds of some. It says, "So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and his fathers, and were carried over into Sichem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emer, the father of Sichem." Now, some say Abraham bought this this burying place in Sichem. It contradicts with them buying the one here in Mamre at Hebron. But one good explanation for this is that, you know, later on, Abraham is going to marry another woman. He's going to have children by her. And he more than likely bought this burying place for her and her family to use. Then later on down, she probably lost this possession. And then it had to be bought again by Jacob. But and so in Stephen's audience, no one seemed to notice any obvious mistake in as he related these events. So they were familiar by means of tradition or some other adequate explanation of this apparent contradiction and what the truth of the matter was. But we have no reason to not believe what is said here about Abraham nor what is said by Stephen about what happened later. Well, in verses 19 and 20, we have the conclusion of this chapter. It says, "And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth." So once this portion had been completed, Abraham proceeded with the burial of Sarah. The field and the cave had been made sure. That is, it had been guaranteed legally to be the possession of Abraham. This place that was chosen by Abraham, this first and only possession Abraham actually had in the land, was actually to be the family burying place for this patriarchal group. Sarah was the first to be buried there in the cave of Machpelah in Mamre. This place that had the trees that bordered around about it, this field that had the cave therein, this ideal spot in the eyes of Abraham to be. And we find that later, Abraham was buried there, Genesis 25:9. Then Isaac, Genesis 35:27-29. Leah and Rebekah were buried there, Genesis 49:30-31. And finally, Jacob in Genesis 50:13. The plot that Stephen says that Abraham bought in Shechem, which later Jacob purchased, probably after Abraham's family had lost it, we see that Jacob purchased this plot in Shechem, not for a sepulcher, not for a burying place, but for an altar, according to Genesis 33:20. Jacob later gave it to Joseph, and his descendants eventually buried him there, presumably along with the others of the fathers whom they had brought up from Egypt, according to Joshua 24:32 and Acts 7:15-16. As we read this story of Sarah's death, we really are reading a story that gives us a glimpse of humanity. Most persons who live to any age, considered to be an older age, have to experience this loss of a loved one in death. They have to experience the mourning and the grieving and the weeping. They have to experience the rising up from the dead body and going on about the business of providing a place to bury them. And they have to deal with the arrangements for the funeral and then go through the actual funeral itself. And then eventually they themselves will be occupying this similar situation as they die and are buried next to the one who went on before. It's the story of humanity to be allowed to live and carry on the life the best we can here while we try to serve God, try to do the best we can to be pleasing to God, eventually knowing that we all are going to have to die. We're all going to have to be a sight, so to speak. We're all going to have to be mingled in the dust of the earth as it was intended at the time of the curse. So it's a story that we can all relate to. We can, as we recount our own experiences in life, we can see with a real sympathetic heart, we can have true empathy for Abram as we see his true sorrow, and yet he cannot grieve indefinitely. He must go about the business at hand. He must take some action and make decisions that we all dread to make and bury her. And as he later goes back to the abode after the funeral, and there Sarah is absent. There are her clothes. There are the memories of her. And all the decisions he now has to make without her being there to help him make those decisions. He still has further business to do with Isaac and the choosing of Isaac's wife and so forth. So we can sympathize with Abraham, for he's doing the very thing that humans have to do all the time. That concludes the 23rd chapter of Genesis. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.
The joy of heaven is swelling in my soul every day. It is swelling, sweeter it grows to me, and daily o'erflows the love that saved me. I'm telling all along on my way.
I'm glad for
Jesus' amazing grace to me, to me.
The joy of heaven
is rising swell. It rises
well within my heart.
In my heart to ever surge and grow.
It gives me victory
for
sin and evil.
For every sin.
And
it floods my happy newborn soul.
The loving
Savior leads me by His Spirit here. Love I see in every place.
Each place, oh hallelujah.
Oh praise His name.
Oh glory, glory.
I'm glad He came.
I praise the Lord.
Praise Him for amazing grace. His grace. The joy of heaven like billows ever rolls on and on. Glory so free, bringing to me this great salvation, will keep me till life's morning shall dawn.
I'm glad for
Jesus' amazing grace to me.
The joy of heaven
is rising swell. It rises swell
within my heart
to ever surge and roll.
It gives me victory,
victory
for
every sin.
And
it floods my happy newborn soul.
The loving
Savior leads me by His Spirit here.
His love divine,
love I see in every place.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, praise His name.
Oh, glory, glory.
I'm glad He came.
I praise the Lord.
Praise Him for amazing grace.
The joy of heaven.
The joy of heaven.
It's rising swell.
It rises swell.
In my heart.
In my heart. To ever surge and roll.
It gives me victory.
His victory.
For sin and evil.
For every sin.
And
it floods my happy newborn soul.
The loving
Savior leads me by His Spirit here.
His love divine,
love I see in every place.
Praise, oh hallelujah.
Praise His name.
Oh glory, glory.
I'm glad He came.